You finally decided to go to bed, huh? No, I get it. You've been working hard. Oh, yeah, I'll be fine. I'm not sleepy yet. I'm just gonna read some more of my book. Okay, you have a good night. Good night. Oh, well, if you want, I can read to you. Yeah, I'm reading Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. It's one of the best ones, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, look at it. The cover is amazing. It's the Hogwarts House edition. It's the Slytherin one, so we've got all of this really pretty green outer lining of the pages. Yeah, I think it's really pretty. No, that's not the reason I bought it. Shh.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, I'm already on chapter 9, but if you don't mind missing like 9 chapters, I don't mind reading. Okay. You get cozy. Just let me know when you're ready.
I could read... Hang on, let me see how long this chapter is here. Okay, so that one's like 20 pages long. I mean, we'll see how we do. Yeah, that would be like 34 pages if I read you 2 chapters, but we'll see how we get on. Okay.
Don't tell your mother you've been gambling, Mr. Weasley implored Fred and George as they made their way very slowly down the purple carpeted stairs. Don't worry, Dad, said Fred gleefully. We've got big plans for this money. We don't want it confiscated. Mr. Weasley looked for a moment as though he was going to ask what these big plans were, but seemed to decide, upon reflection, that he didn't want to know. They were soon caught up in the crowds now flooding the stadium and back to their campsites. When they finally reached the tents, nobody felt like sleeping at all, and given the level of noise around them, Mr. Weasley agreed that they could all have one last cup of cocoa together before turning in. They were soon arguing enjoyably about the match. Mr. Weasley got drawn into a disagreement about cobbing with Charlie, and it was only when Ginny fell asleep right at the tiny table and spilled hot chocolate all over the floor that Mr. Weasley called a halt to the verbal replays and insisted that everyone went to bed. Hermione and Ginny went into the next tent, and Harry and the rest of the Weasleys changed into pajamas and clambered into their bunks. From the other side of the campsite, they could still hear much singing and the odd echoing bang. Ugh, am I glad I'm not on duty, muttered Mr. Weasley sleepily. I wouldn't fancy having to go and tell the Irish that they've got to stop celebrating. Harry, who was on the top bunk above Ron, lay staring up the canvas ceiling of the tent, watching the glow of an occasional leprechaun lantern flying overhead, and picturing some of Crumb's more spectacular moves. Harry never knew whether he had actually dropped off to sleep or not. His fantasies of flying like Crumb might have well slipped into actual dreams. All he knew was that, quite suddenly, Mr. Weasley was shouting, "Get up! Ron, Harry, come on now! Get up! This is urgent!" Harry sat up quickly and the top of his head hit canvas. "What's the matter?" he said. Dimly, he could tell that something was wrong. The noises in the campsite had changed. The singing had stopped. He could hear screams and the sound of people running. He slipped down from the bunk and reached for his clothes, But Mr. Weasley, who had pulled his jeans over his own pajamas, said, "No time, Harry. Just grab a jacket and get outside, quickly." Harry did as he was told, and hurried out of the tent, Ron at his heels. By the light of the few fires that were still burning, he could see people running away into the woods, fleeing something that was moving across the field towards them, something that was emitting odd flashes of light, and noises like gunfire. Loud jeering, roars of laughter, and drunken yells were drifting towards them. Then came a burst of strong green light, which illuminated the scene. A crowd of wizards, tightly packed and moving together with wands pointing straight upwards, was marching slowly across the field. Harry squinted at them. They didn't seem to have faces. Then he realized that their heads were hooded and their faces masked. High above them, floating along in midair, four struggling figures were being contorted into grotesque shapes. It was as though the masked wizards on the ground were puppeteers, and the people above them were marionettes operated by invisible strings that rose from the wands onto the air. Two of the figures were very small. More wizards were joining the marching group, laughing and pointing up at the floating bodies. Tents crumpled and fell as the marching crowd swelled. Once or twice, Harry saw one of the marchers blast a tent out of his way with his wand. Several caught fire. The screaming grew louder. The floating people were suddenly illuminated as they passed over a burning tent, and Harry recognized one of them. Mr. Roberts, the campsite manager. The other three looked as though they might be his wife and children. One of the marchers below flipped Mrs. Roberts upside down with his wand. Her nightdress fell down to reveal her voluminous drawers. She struggled to cover herself up as the crowd below her screeched and hooted with glee. "That's sick," Ron muttered, watching the smallest muggle child, who had begun to spin like a top 60 feet above the ground, his head flopping limply from side to side. "That is really sick." Hermione and Ginny came hurrying towards them, pulling coats over their nightdresses, with Mr. Weasley right behind them. At the same moment, Bill, Charlie, and Percy emerged from the boys' tent, fully dressed, with their sleeves rolled up and their wands out. "We're gonna help the ministry," Mr. Weasley shouted all over the noise, rolling up his own sleeves. "You lot, get into the woods and stick together. I'll come and fetch you when we've sorted this out." Bill, Charlie, and Percy were already sprinting away towards the oncoming marchers. Mr. Weasley tore after them. Ministry wizards were dashing from every direction towards the source of the trouble. The crowd beneath the Roberts family was coming ever closer. "Come on," said Fred, grabbing Ginny's hand and starting to pull her towards the wood. Harry, Ron, Hermione, and George followed. They all looked back as they reached the trees. The crowd beneath the Roberts family was larger than ever. They could see the ministry wizards trying to get through it to the hooded wizards in the center, but they were having great difficulty. It looked as though they were scared to perform any spell that might make the Roberts family fall. The colored lanterns that had lit the path to the stadium had been extinguished. Dark figures were blundering through the trees. Children were crying. Anxious shouts and panic voices were reverberating around them in the cold night air. "What happened?" said Hermione anxiously, stopping so abruptly that Harry walked into her. "Ron, where are you?" "Oh, this is stupid. Lumos." She illuminated her wand and directed its narrow beam across the path. Ron was lying sprawled out on the ground. "Tripped over a tree root," he said angrily, getting to his feet again. "Well, with feet that size, hard not to," said a drawling voice from behind them. Harry, Ron, and Hermione turned sharply. Draco Malfoy was standing alone nearby them, leaning against a tree, looking utterly relaxed. His arms folded, he seemed to have been watching the scene on the campsite through a gap in the trees. Ron told Malfoy to do something that Harry knew he would never have dared to say in front of Mrs. Weasley. "Language, Weasley," said Malfoy, his pale eyes glittering. "Hadn't you better be hurrying along now? You wouldn't like her spotted, would you?" He nodded at Hermione, and at the same moment a blast-like bomb sounded from the campsite, and a flash of green light momentarily lit the trees around them. "What's that supposed to mean?" said Hermione defiantly. "Granger, they're after muggles," said Malfoy. "Do you want to be showing off your knickers in midair? Because if you do, hang around. They're moving this way, and it will give us all a laugh." "Hermione's a witch," Harry snarled. "Have it your own way, Potter," said Malfoy, grinning. "If you think they can't spot a mudblood, stay where you are." "You watch your mouth," shouted Ron. Everyone present knew that mudblood was a very offensive term for a witch or wizard of muggle parentage. "Never mind, Ron," said Hermione quickly, seizing Ron's arm to restrain him as he took a step towards Malfoy. There came a bang from the other side of the trees that was louder than anything they had heard. Several people nearby screamed. Malfoy chuckled softly. "Scare easily, don't they?" he said lazily. "I suppose your daddy told you all to hide? What's he up to, trying to rescue the muggles?" "Where's your parents?" said Harry, his temper rising. "Out there wearing masks, are they?" Malfoy turned his face to Harry, still smiling. "Well, if they were, I wouldn't be likely to tell you, would I, Potter?" "Oh, come on," said Hermione, with a disgusted look at Malfoy. "Let's go and find the others." "Keep that big bushy head down, Granger," sneered Malfoy. "Come on," Hermione repeated, and she pulled Harry and Ron off up the path again. "I'll bet you anything his dad is one of the mask lot," said Ron hotly. "Well, with any luck, the Ministry will catch him," said Hermione fervently. "Ugh, I can't believe this. Where have the others got to?" Fred, George, and Ginny were nowhere to be seen, though the path was packed with plenty of other people, all of them looking nervously over their shoulders towards the commotion back at the campsite. A huddle of teenagers in pajamas were arguing a little way along the path, when they saw Harry, Ron, and Hermione. A girl with thick, curly hair turned and said quickly,
"That part's in French, I don't know how to, I don't know how to say that."
What? Said Ron. "Oh." The girl who had spoken turned her back on him, and as they walked on they distinctly heard her say, "Hogwarts." "Sorry?" said Harry. "Fred and George can't have gone that far," said Ron, pulling out his wand, lighting it like Hermione and squinting up the path. Harry dug in the pockets of his jacket for his own wand, but it wasn't there. "No, I don't believe it. I've lost my wand." "You're kidding." Ron and Hermione raised their wands high enough to spread the narrow beams of light further on the ground. Harry looked all around him, but his wand was nowhere to be seen. "Maybe it's back in the tent," said Ron. "Maybe it fell out of your pocket when we were running?" Hermione suggested anxiously. "Yeah," said Harry. "Maybe." He usually kept his wand with him at all times in the wizarding world, and finding himself without it in the midst of a scene like this made him very vulnerable. A rustling noise made all three of them jump. Winky the house elf...
Winky?
Winky the house elf was finding her way out of a clump of bushes nearby. She was moving in the most peculiar fashion, apparently with great difficulty. It was as though someone invisible was trying to hold her back. "There's bad wizards about," she squeaked distractedly, as she leant forwards and labored to keep running. "People high in the air. Winky is getting out of the way." And she disappeared into the trees on the other side of the path, panting and squeaking as she fought the force that was restraining her. "What's up with her?" said Ron, looking curiously after Winky. "Why can't she run properly?" "Bet she didn't ask permission to hide," said Harry. He was thinking of Dobby. Every time he tried to do something the Malfoys wouldn't like, he'd been forced to start beating himself up. "You know, house elves get a very raw deal," said Hermione. "It's slavery, that's what it is. That Mr. Crouch made her go up to the top of the stadium, and she was terrified. And he's got her bewitched so she can't even run when they start trampling tents. Why doesn't anyone do something about it?" "Well, the elves are happy, aren't they?" Ron said. You heard old Winky back at the match. House elves is not supposed to have fun. That's what she likes, being bossed around. It's people like you, Ron, Hermione began hotly, who prop up rotten and unjust systems, just because they're too lazy to. Another loud bang echoed from the edge of the wood. Let's just keep moving, shall we? Said Ron, and Harry saw him glance edgily at Hermione. Perhaps there was a truth in what Malfoy had said. Perhaps Hermione was in more danger than they were. They set off again, Harry still searching his pockets, even though he knew his wand wasn't there.